Joy 99.7 FM.
In a certain way, that tie the hands of the police and they become ineffective. But I know that professionals as they are, if you allow them, they'll work. So it is my hope and prayer that everything will go on well. And then we have to learn something from this, that we should not go for by-election or any election for that matter, where it looks as if that the world is coming to an end. It shouldn't be.
But we saw lots of strict measures put in place by the police, even as at last night. They were going around the community, making sure everything was on point before today. Should this be the standard moving forward?
That has been the standard. It's not new. Peace is an important ingredient.
I'm referring to the police presence, how heavy it is at Akwaetia. Should this be the standard in every polling station?
No, I don't.
Moving forward. Why? Why shouldn't be? Because it appears this is yielding results. We're seeing the thugs flee from the scene. Should we adopt this strategy moving forward?
Yes, I'm saying that should not be the case, because otherwise we are saying that if we are going for general election, if one constituency, we can marshal forces like this, then you are talking about what? 276. You need Ghana Army in addition to the police. Is that what we need? No.
But we have the men, don't we?
No, but if we election, which is supposed to be a very simple exercise, we have to deploy all our military and police, then virtually we are in a state of state collapse. The state has collapsed. But the state has not collapsed.
But haven't we learned from history that
we are not ready to learn.
Holding peaceful elections must come at a cost?
But
we saw the same play out at Ablekuma North.
Yes, that we create the scene. If we decide that we can play safe, we will end up being 210 up to 20 policemen gathering a place for a by-election. Or even 10 for the sake of it. Right, then we are good to go. You see, I am worried because, you see, every time we are talking about free and fair elections, people forget about one thing. There are indices for measuring that. And one of it is world peace. Right? You need that. And people think that, oh, going to register, voter education, constituency demarcation, and the rest of them. That is true. But peace is a critical index of free and fair election, without which we will not have any election. So it should be part and parcel of our socialization that we inculcate into people from the word go. Now look, election is not do or die affair. It's a contest of ideas and the work you have done, your records. Show me your records and demonstrate to me that you have superior knowledge over the problems that we have and you want to what, share with me. If it resonates with me, I'll vote for you. If not, I vote against you, a very simple matter. And then when you go for election, it should be violent free, because any irregularity undermines the free nature. It becomes something else, not free and fair.
But without this extent of security presence in moving forward in subsequent elections, do you think we would actually achieve that free and fair peaceful process, especially because although the political parties will not admit on camera, we know internally they have security apparatus that work with the party, some of whom they use to instigate some of these violent scenes we see during elections. If we're seeing it play out in Akwaetia that heavy security presence is the way to go, why shouldn't we adopt that strategy moving forward?
Is it sustainable? Can the state afford to pay? You can't just put security there without cost. The cost of what? Building, potable water. The cost of fixing a road. If we go on that trajectory, at the end of the day, resources that we could channel into what? Wiping away students or pupils who study under 3, we'll be marshalling those forces for keeping election security. What point is that? It's pointless. All that I'm saying that everybody, it is our committed or it's a call on us to make sure that we have what? Free and fair election, devoid of things like this, so that we know that we are growing a democracy. It's not that we've held a successful election and all that. No. The real issues are what we are witnessing. So without the police, can we have free and fair? No. So it tells you that there is a problem. And that problem is that the political actors, I will forever blame them unless they change their modus operandi. They are the ones who cause this. The cocoa seller. the watcher seller, the king case seller, is he the one who instigate people? No. But the political actors, they are the ones who do it. But we glorify them. Anytime they do, the party has won, hooray, we go back to sleep. The next time, you know, they threaten everybody, and then we sit on tenterhooks, and once the elections are over, we go to sleep. The problem is escalated to another level in the next election, and we sit on thrones. That cycle must be broken, and the time is now.
How do we break it, really?
Yes, we see those who engage in this, throw them out by voting against them. And that is why other political parties must show their presence in such places, so that when we see that the two are violent, we can give our vote to the third party.
And that's one of the greatest concerns individuals have raised, that we're running largely a two-party system in this country. It's either you're going for the NDC or the MPP. The other political parties don't seem to be pulling their weights, are they?
I am arguing from the backdrop that for parliamentary, people can afford to give it to what? A third force. But for presidential, remember, the problem, the basis of this problem is the way this country was built. It was built along what? A two-party system. The British colonial authority in leaving this country bequeathed to us this a two-party system. If you go to Britain, there's two-party. Two-party system means that there are a number of parties in the state, more than one, but only two have what it takes to win power and form government. If you go to Britain, Labour and Conservative, they win elections all the time. It doesn't mean that there are not other parties. Other parties exist, all right? Yes, in Britain, but only these two always win elections. In Ghana, a CPP, which has, you know, found expression in NDC. And if you look at NDC, the backbone of NDC are people who migrated from CPP, and they found expression here. So it's a CPP, Dan Corbusier tradition with this. Any other group becomes a dwarf party. And the two parties, some other parties, if they don't take care, they don't win power. If you go through the two-party system history in the world, all right, I think in one of the Scandinavian countries, the party ruled for 52 years. Can you imagine? Even in Africa, I can give you an example. You have parties which have ruled for so long a time, two-party systems. And those are the things, if you want to break this, then there must be a conscious effort. One, to make sure that you come up with a law. Okay. That takes us to what? Proportional representation.
Stay with me, Doc. I'll come back to you to make that point. But let's take you back to Akwesia. Results are already trickling in, and we have some provisional results. But let me take you there live. My colleague Blessed Soga already engaged in some constituents in the constituency following the declaration of some results in some polling stations.
Thank you very much for that.
Everything cool. Oh, we are cocama. We are cocama. They are say about to a sort of a buy who say I could tell for a hard drink, Casa Casa, and so on. I mean, my mother, sir. Yes, I said, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, And
then
that's a movie.
My colleague Blessed Soga there engaging some residents who are optimistic about how the process will turn out. So far, provisional results are beginning to trickle in, and we'll just run you through some of them. From Bodia Lorry Station, Solomon Asumedu has won 127 votes, while Bernard Bidiakubedu for the NDC has won 282. LPG 3, rejected ballots 3. So from provisional results from Bodia Lorry Station, it appears that the NDC is leading in that polling station with 282. And 82 votes, while the MPP follows closely with 127 votes. More results trickling in at Akwesia Lorry Station. MPP, 83 votes, while the NDC, 333 votes. LPG 0, rejected ballot 1, and that is in Station A. Also, when it comes to other polling station at Jonase Presby, the polling station there, the MPP, provisional results 206, NDC 81, and also we have other results trickling in as well. And we're running you through the numbers as soon as we have them, just giving us a sense of what we should expect in the next few minutes when we have final results from all the polling stations. And trust us, we're your election headquarters. We'll be here to have the declaration of the winner of that seat. But I still have Doc with me in the studio, and you can just see on your screens now counting underway at some polling station. Doc, you're just making a point before I had to come in at that point to update our viewers on some of the key things happening at Agwetia.
Yes, so as I was saying, if you look at the two-party system, they tend to dwarf any other party. So you don't see the effect of those parties. And if we want to deal with this problem, then we need a law that can bring to bear a change in the situation. Proportional representation is one of the solutions where it can change the dynamics. You can also go in for a multi-party system. Yeah. People use the concept loosely in Ghana, that, oh, this is a multi-party democracy. From a loose point of view, we will accept that you are talking about more than one political party. But in political science, when we say a multi-party, we are talking about all the parties that exist in that state.
Mm.
All of them have an equal chance of winning election. But as to whether they can form a government on their own, it's always not impossible. They normally end up as a coalition. So that is it. So you go to places like Israel, Germany, Jordan, and the rest. You see coalition governments are formed. It's as a result of some of these things. And that one, you are not likely to have a landslide victory. No, because of the system. That will allow other parties to exist. But if you should have a two-party, the two-party will win forever. You can even have an independent candidate, presidential candidate. He will not be able to survive.
And we're seeing it play out even with this by-election, where the LPG is recording votes as low as 1 and 2 in some polling stations. Some of the provisional results still trickling in. New Wenchi Presbyterian School A, NPP 314 votes, NDC 107, LPG 0, rejected ballot 7. Some provisional results just trickling in, and we'll be bringing you that update as soon as we have them. Our correspondents are on the ground. Officially, counting is underway at Akwetia. Now, my colleague Samuel Kojobrace is on the ground. Just join us live from one of the polling stations there at Akwetia. Kojo, what can you report?
Well, for see, this is Bodua Lorry Station, and the counting just ended. The MPP, as I spoke to earlier, they were telling me they are looking at maximizing their vote here. But, when we're expecting some 612 people to cast their vote here, at the end of the day, the MPP recorded some 111 votes, as against the NDC's 323 for the NDC with 2 rejected ballots. The LPG had zero here. So at the Bodua Lorry Station polling station, the NPP had 111. The NDC, on the other hand, had 323. LPG had 0. And we had 2 rejected ballots. So that is what we just recorded here. Counting is underway in several police stations, and so we'll be getting the results and bringing them to you on Joy News. Firstly,
indeed, Kojo Brace, we are on the ground and we're bringing you all the live visuals that we have, just painting a picture for you as to what exactly is happening at Akwitia. Some provisional results we have at Apinamam LA GHS polling station. NDC 144 votes, the NPP 182 votes, LPG 2 votes, rejected ballots 6. Doc, it appears that we would be on the ground throughout just to give our audience a sense of what is happening. So pardon me if I have to come in every now and then to take them live on the grounds. But then why is Akwitia really such a big deal?
Akwitia is a big deal for this election for two reasons. One, it is a test of the resilience of the MPP. And it is also a test of the declining popularity or goodwill, if you like, of the NDC.
Okay.
Yes. While some people are looking at it, that look, are MPP resilient to weather the storm? You are dealing with a party which has already, 184 minus Tamale Central, 183, and they are still soldiering on. Can you withstand that? Do you have that capacity to resist that? And then you flip the coin. The NDC is also in there. People are looking at it. In spite of all your goodwill, do you still have that on the ground? This is a real test, because this is a swing constituent. It can swing in favor of any party there, the two dominant parties. So do you still have the goodwill 7 months into office? So there are a lot at stake here. Aside this, remember that NDC is looking forward to getting 184. That is to test majority. And you know what a test majority can do in parliament. It can help them to amend non-entrenched provisions, form quorum, and take all the important decisions without necessarily the support of any other party. Remember that the independent candidates, right, they can work with them. But on their own, when they get 184, the independent candidates, they can decide as and when to engage them. So that is the reason why you are seeing this type of pusher from each of the actors in there. But aside there, that the demography also speaks volume, all right, or it gives us a little inkling as to what is happening. Look at this is an area where it's predominantly Action people. But you have what? Groups of what? Groups coming from what? The background of others, about 17%. The Accounts there about 66%, the others about 17%, the Gandangbe about 17%, and other groups about what, 11%. Mm. It gives you a sense of what is happening. And if you look at it from the backdrop, that this is a place where mining is rife. It is important to know that even though mining is rife, the main large-scale mining has gone down. That is the Great Consolidated Diamond Limited, because of what, resources and other factors, is not performing the way it ought to be.
Mm.
But that aside, we have small-scale mining and galamsey activities going on. Besides that, they also boast of a very proud hospital like the St. Dominic Catholic Hospital, one of the best secondary schools there, as in Rosie's and all that. So it's a place that attracts a lot of people. And then that has also changed the dynamics. So when you have all these things, in addition to what we call enclaves within stronghold, Eastern region obviously is a dominant area for the MPP. But we have enclaves within Eastern region that they always show what? Swing, results. And this is one of the enclaves. And enclaves results always create a certain type of picture, which is playing out here. Go to Asamase, in the belly of Asante, and then you have Asamase voting the way they do for the NDC. and this one also a swing. So these dynamics, we will continue to see that. But all in all, one thing is clear, that people are voting mostly for what? The economy. In the area of what? Economy, which has found expression in what? Development. If you look at the info analytics report, yeah, they are saying that the top consideration of voters there for this by-election is what? Development.
Yes, development. Because Akwetia really mostly thrives with mining and what have not. And for decades now, that industry has stifled because of some of the factories there,
yeah,
are not operational.
Yeah.
And they're looking forward to an administration that can turn their fortunes around. But I'm wondering how this election would give them that change they're looking for. Because historically, from as far back as 1992 to 1996, the NDC held the seat. 2000-2008, the NPP held the seat. In 2012, the NDC held it. 2016, the NPP. 2020, the NDC. And then finally, 2024, the NPP took the seat. So we've had both political parties given equal opportunity to actually rule this constituency. And unfortunately, the jobs they're looking for, the community development they're looking for, still hasn't arrived. So what's different this time? What's their guarantee that either the NDC or the NPP can give them that promise that they are always looking forward to?
They have no option to turn to, apart from these two. That is why we are seeing what we are seeing. Otherwise, the best to reject the two, because what we are looking for, we don't have it. But the alternative is non-existent.
That's the problem.
All right, and that is why you want to also develop other individuals or other groups, so that in event of this nature, they can step into the shoes of these dominant parties who have never given them any development. Because if development is what they are looking for, and up to date they don't have it, and on what basis are they campaigning? And if you listen to their campaign, NDC campaign, oh, vote for us, we are in government, and we will provide what? The development. And I ask myself, everybody, if you read the constitution, I think Article 35 areas there, it gives you a sense of what this state is looking forward to. That every portion of this country needs a fair share of the country's development. And so infrastructure development, we want to see at everywhere. And they are saying that, oh, we are in government, so vote for us and we'll be able to give you development. Are you saying that those in opposition can't develop an area? What is the essence of the common fund given to them?
And it's shocking that the NPP actually won that seat. And Eskimu did an amazing job with that seat, because the NDC overwhelming victory with the presidential elections. And so you would expect, because that seat was initially an NDC seat, Henry Boakye held the seat for the party, but they were able to turn the fortunes around and take over that seat. I'm sure that is why the NDP is bent on ensuring they maintain the seat, even though it may not affect their numbers in parliament.
Odiri, you need to, you know, a place which is swing, you have every reason to compete and compete well, so that you demonstrate your mettle to the people that you are still what? In business. Otherwise, you'll be forgotten in no time. And for swing, one disadvantage is that if you don't show your presence and you lose out, the other party takes advantage forever. And you going back becomes what? A problem. So political parties are very careful of this, and then they put in their all to make sure that they get the results that they want. It's a real toss-up. It's a real toss-up. And so toss-ups, you can understand these dynamics. But it goes also without saying that, look, all these things we do, but every time we go to Akwetia, it's always we are sitting on tenterhooks. That masses. Why violence? Violence. Why? And I will always urge the people of Akwetia to resist that type of temptation, because political parties should not use that land for their theater, where they foment trouble, they create problems for them, and they run away to their various constituency and leave them what? Suffering. No. No. We must move away from that. You know, having a high election security, you know, we should go down on this. And that is when we are able to, in you know, internalize the information that we need free and fair election. Election that is devoid of what? Violence.
Indeed.
Irregularity.
Doc, stay with me. I'll come back to you to just make that point. Let me take you back now to Akwaetia. My colleague Blexis Suga is on the grounds engaging some residents. Results are trickling in. Blessed, what can you report?
Ballot box, we are telling you. Don't go away. And this is a far one. And people are far one. Opa Gotia Roman. You're 200. I'm on your sister. I don't know. I'm interested. Your mama 24 hour economy. I'm your mama. You're been put to a Gotia. You can never throw a Gotia. And then that's only to my pesa. Then you're Gotia.
As for the distant lesson, there is very smoothly. How people, even this year, this place, when they have been voting like this, they do something. People have been even fighting here because of the police people. As for that fighting there has been. So everything is cool here. This voting here, let's thank Almighty that things have been moving smoothly for the Akwaetia people.
What do you want the new MP to do?
The new MP there, we trust him because even he has not done the MP before, but he has been helping the people. So he's going to make and do something for the Akwaetia people here.
Anything you want to share with the people of Akwaetia?
Nothing. We are just happy.
Your friend says the 24-hour economy will start from here.
Yeah, the 24-hour economy, because of this voting, yeah, I'm sure we have been going to get the 24-hour economy here. Thank you very much for that.
Everything cool.
Apparently excited about the outcome, but there's more jubilation happening here at the Akwaetia lorry station, where at all the two polling centers we've had the NDC candidate emerge victorious. So let's try and get some more reactions for you. Because you see people obviously happy about the outcome of the elections, and I'm sure that many more of them are talking. Let's listen to them.
Sabi, your person before your boy to feel yet to feel a memoir.
Yes,
your person 2028, and I come to see the back,
yes.
Our parliament.
Yes,
Sabi, Abaya,
see
for P, Ba, a quantum.
Yes,
who is see for P? 2028, honorable Siri Katia is coming. 2028, and Siri Katia is coming.
Yes.
1,000. Yes. If you
Senior East, Yale, Yabasa, and the Yatuma Baba, Bolo, Yapan, and Tuma Pesra, Yapesa, and Puntuba, Quatia, Yamobin Fan, and Sempon, and the Capre, and Mamma, Sayakotia, Aquatia, my so, Mupen Puntuo, Aquatia, my so, Mupesa, Mumma, when you're Jumaya, and Jumapesa, or Mumma, when you're Jumaya, Juno, Mutuaba.